Should all stand, please, this morning. Take your Bibles, please, and I want you to go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. Mark, chapter 13. I want you to look at verse 28. That's where we will start. Mark 13, 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you, in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch, watch. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your words. As we have this service as the last service of this year, and as we think about the coming year, Lord, we just thank you that we have the prophecy of your coming back. We thank you for that glorious truth. Lord, we ask that you bless your word, and we give you praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I was wondering, as I told Deb this week, I said, you know, I find it hard to find the right message to preach at the last Sunday of the year. I told her even yesterday, I said, I'm just not sure of what I'm going to preach on. And I thought, well, you know, it's kind of like the guy who went into the bathroom and he was standing on the bathroom scales, and his wife walked by and she noticed him on the bathroom scales and he was sucking his stomach in really good. And she said, you know, dear, that's not going to help your weight anyway. And he says, no, that's the only way I can see the numbers. And so, you know, so it's kind of like that this morning. I'm kind of up in the air on what to preach. But, you know, as we come at the end of the season, at the end of the year, I think maybe one of the things that we need to understand and realize is Jesus' last sermon was the Olivet Discourse, is what we just read here in this portion of Scripture. And this is the last part of that Olivet Discourse that he gives to them. And so when we look at it, it demands of us several questions. And I have a lot of questions involved with this sermon this morning. Given the facts of all that we know right now, and given the facts of how we see society and the world in general today, I think all of us would answer the question, do you think the Lord's return is imminent? And I think we would all say, absolutely. Absolutely. So if that's the case, then, and if we believe that, and I hope you do believe that, because his return, I believe, is imminent, I believe it demands, demands of us a question: how should I now live? How should I now live my life? What should be the emphasis of my life? Or what difference now in society should I be making if I know that the Lord's return is soon, imminent, and promised? How should I live? How should Christ's future return affect my life right now? And I believe that should be the emphasis as we close this year. We can look back on the things of this past year. And maybe you've had some instances this past year that maybe caused you to reflect more and more and more all the time about the future. And so the answer, I guess, maybe that we need to come up with is that as we see here in this portion of Scripture over and over and over again here in chapter number 13, you're going to see that take heed, watch, take heed, watch. And so we find it six different times. You find it there in verse number 5. You find it in verse number 9. You find it in verse number 23. You find it in verse 33, 35, and 37. Get ready. Watch. The Lord's coming back. And I hope today that that's in your mindset as we finish this year. I mentioned earlier today to some, I don't want to go into a new year. I think I just want to just stay in this one and not go into a new one. But I know that that's not the case. We can't do that. We can't stay where we are. Neither can we stay where we are Christians in Christianity. We are either moving forward in our Christian life, being more spiritual and like the song said, holy, holy, or else we're digressing and we're going backwards. And so when we look at this, then the question then, are we ready? Are we ready for Christ's return? Can you say today with all the confidence that you're ready today that the Lord Jesus Christ return? I am ready. My life's ready. I am ready to face my Creator. You know, you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I think there's some things in our lives that merely ought to be emphasized in our lives to really make us ready. And I want to give us some of these. First, are we pursuing holy living? Are we pursuing a holy character and lifestyle? Do we care about holiness? Does my life honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Does my life really stand out as a testimony to those who I work with, to those who I associate with, to my family? Does my life really stand out as a testimony to those that I honor and love and really hope that they one day will, like I am, be in heaven also? Do I care enough? Confession of sin. Confession of sin. Not a one of us should go through and end the day of our lives without a confession of sin. Because we sin every single day. Through thought, word, or deed, we sin. Those things that we commit and those things that we omit. The things that we do that are sinful and the things that we don't do that God wants us to do is also sinful if we disregard and be disobedient. Have we given the Lord our all? And I think probably that one there would stand as a big exclamation mark in most of our lives, wouldn't it? Have I given God my all? Have I really turned my whole life over to Him completely? Okay? And so those things this morning I kind of wrote down and I kind of shared and thought about it. And all of this is part of being ready part of being ready. And so when we look at it then, I want you to turn in your Bible to the right there to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. If you'll go past 2 Peter, you'll come to 1 John, and you'll find in chapter number 2. And I want you to look at verse 28. 1 John, keep your finger back in Mark, but look at 1 John chapter number 2. And I want you to look at verse 28. John is writing to Christians, and these are written to you and I. But notice what it says. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For we know that he is righteous." You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Okay? That verse 28 says, some are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and are going to be extremely ashamed of our lives. Extremely ashamed. You say, well, what does that being ashamed, standing before God, what does it really entail? Well, I think, and maybe these things will hit a little closer to home of what we understand. Shamed at the way we live. Shamed at the way we live. You see, we live in America in an affluent society. We have everything. There's not a one of us in this room today who came to church hungry. There's not probably a one of us in this room today that didn't have a home to sleep in or a roof over our heads, or had the enjoyment of a good day and Christmas and all of those things. Ashamed of our living. We live affluently. We live with abundance. We have it all. And so being ashamed because we weren't very generous people. Generosity is not necessarily one of our key traits in society in America, is it? And yet Americans are very generous people. Number two, ashamed of our priorities. Ashamed of our priorities. Well, what are the priorities? What do I really consider my priorities in life? Is it serving God? Is it joining with God's people? Is it doing what God wants me to do? Or do I run along with the crowd and go wherever God wants me not to be? You see, it's easy to go along with the crowd, isn't it? You know, some of you in here are so generous in life. And some of us in here, we would like to say our priorities are in line with what God wants us to be. But is it really that way? Or is it just secondary? Will I be ashamed to stand before God and to look at my life and say, I should have done this or I should have done that? Or I could have done this, but I didn't. You know, there are a lot of things in that ashamed of our priorities in life. We have a lot of priorities that are, I think, anti-Christ, against Christ. Now, if you go back to the book of Mark, and you look there, you see one verse that says about a parable. If you look there in verse 28 and 29, in which we read, it says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you in like manner," when you see these things, okay? He's given this parable here then. It's like a fig tree. It's getting ready to put forth its leaves. It's springtime. It's getting, and we understand that. We understand this is not something that we don't. When we look out And we see the trees starting to bud. We know that it's warm. It's summer's coming or springtime's coming. And so when we see this, we look at it. You know, some Bible scholars says this fig tree represents Israel. Israel. It is sprung. It is spread forth. It's blooming or whatever. I don't think, at least I don't see that in my thinking here. All I see here is that God tells us, when you know springtime is coming, know that Jesus' return is that same way. When you see the signs of that fig tree, you know it's summer. Well, you see the signs. Here in this chapter 13, God has given us all kinds of signs. All kinds of signs that we know that his return is imminent. And he gives us these signs. Look at these signs, okay? From verse 5 down to verse number 23, you'll see these signs. First, false Christ. Those that come and say, I am Christ. I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest ones today who has come as the Messiah is Muslim and Islam. The prophet Muhammad is a Christ individual, a false Christ. Islam is so far out there that it's a hateful, killing religion. And it is a religion. But I just name it as one of the false Christs that we see here. Many will come saying, I'm the Messiah. And of course, you know as well as I do, Islam says that Allah will come back when the time comes. What a fallacy. Wars and rumors of wars. I was thinking this morning, since I was born in 1949, at the end of World War II, two or three years after World War II, and then lo and behold, the Korean War comes. And then not too long after that, a Vietnam War comes. And then there's other wars that have come. In my lifetime, it's been an unending time of war for us in America. There's rumors of wars and wars that come. Earthquakes. All of these are signs. Famines. You know as well as I do that we have some missionaries in Myanmar that we support through the Carpenters Project, and they're going through civil war over there, and the people in those churches in Myanmar have been ran out of their churches. Their churches have been burnt, and now they're living in the forests, and they don't have much. And through the Carpenters Project here about 6 months ago, we sent them money so that they could buy rice and ship it into those people secretly so that those churches might have food, because they've ran out of food. They've ran out of food. And there's famine there. Pestilences. We are the, I guess most, let me use the term, doctored nation in the world. We have more pharmaceuticals than any other country in the world. And yet, maybe in some ways, we are the most unhealthy. Pestilences. He gives us the term knowledge is going to increase. Boy, just knowledge since the year 2000, knowledge has exploded. You have on your hand or on your wristwatch now, you can pull up anything that you want to know. What did I look up yesterday? I said, oh, okay. I just happened to say, okay, pulled it up on my cell phone. I said, Notre Dame lost two games of football this year. What were the two teams that they lost to? And I just pulled it up on my phone and bing, right there. Okay, Texas A&M was one of them. Okay, and Miami was the other. So I just, knowledge is just there at the click of a button. Okay. Men running to and fro. This past day or so, how many of you saw on the screen of airplane delays and cancellations, and all of the planes on the screen that are going here, there, and everywhere, and thousands of them. See, men are running to and fro in the earth, heaping treasure for the last days. Heaping treasure for the last days. Get your portfolio with gold. Yeah, if you've got one. Okay. And men will love pleasure more than God. We see these signs. But the one that's really key is that the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel would be preached in all the world. When can that happen? We see it today. We see it available today through the internet and through wireless and all of that. You can be in anywhere in the world and you can pull up the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's never happened before. It's never been available. It didn't happen in that first century church. But all of these are birth pains that talk of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question is, as some asked, is it wrong to look at these prophetic signs? Oh, I think it's smart to look at the prophetic signs. We're to watch, just like he said to watch that fig tree. We're to watch and we're to heed and we're to make sure that we're looking up. Jesus tells his disciples, when you see these things come to pass, know that Jesus is at the door. He's at the door. I believe today the Lord Jesus Christ is at the door. I don't know how long it's going to be. It may be another 100 or 1,000 years. I don't know. But I do know this, that he told all of these things to his disciples 2,000 years ago. And in our lifetime, they have all come to pass. In our lifetime. And he says, this generation, I don't know what generation it is, but I believe there's a generation seated in this church today that is going to experience the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse number 30 and 31, you see there a promise. Verse 30, verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. I don't think he was talking about that first century church, that generation. They weren't running to and fro. Their knowledge wasn't increasing like ours today. Their gospel didn't go into all the world like it did today. It does today. So it's very important then. There's three things here. I believe this talks about this generation that will be alive when these things take place. One generation is going to see all these signs. One generation will experience all these things. Jesus just says that's true. If you look at verse number 24, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. You see, I find there in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, that every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him when he comes in the clouds of glory. How can that be? How can that happen? How can every eye see him? And the fact is, today, there's not a place in this world that is not visible. Not visible worldwide of those things that go on. And so this is for the very elect's sake, verse 19 and 20. Verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So now I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go back to the right there to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Looking at verse number 9. Now we ask ourselves that how does this affect us today? What or how should we now live our lives? 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 9. Says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons, and here's the answer, what manner of persons ought you to be in a holy manner of living and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God. How many of us today pray, even so come, Lord Jesus? Lord, come today. Come today. There's a very popular song right now. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Very popular. I think that song is prophetic in a certain amount of sense that we see today. I think every Christian ought to say, even so now, Lord Jesus. Why? Well, some of you will say, well, I've got family members that aren't Christians, and then we need to get busy. We need to get busy with our testimonies. We need to get busy reaching those for Christ. We find there in verse 32 and 33, the preparation. No one knows the day, but the Father only. The angels don't know it. And so, I'm glad we don't know the day. How many of you want to know the day that you die? How many of you have ever been asked the question, what if you only had 24 hours to live? And I use this illustration, I've used it a lot, but it's true. True illustration. My mother-in-law, she was on dialysis for 10 years and finally said, that's it, that's enough. I'm not going to do it anymore. I give up. No, I just give in. You know what she did? And it's quite a testimony. He took her address book with all of the names that she had written down in her address book. And she knew that she only had about 6 days, maybe 10 at the most. And she took that address book and she called every single individual in that book and said, I'm going to be with my Lord and Savior in a few short days. I know it. I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. And that he died to save your sin-sick soul. What a testimony. What a way to die. And you know what? In 6 or 10 days, was it about 10 days? She passed away. She knew it. She knew that's where she was going. And I find that to be very enlightening to me. If I knew the day that I was going to die, what would I do? Would I actually care enough about those people that I know do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I love them enough, or do I wish enough that their life might be saved and they'd be in glory too? You see, that's the trouble with us as Christians today. We don't care enough. Listen, all the signs are there that Jesus gave his disciples. They're all there. We see them. They're in Holy Writ here. Every single one of them is in our generation. Do we believe his hands on the doorknob ready and his heavenly Father, his Father in heaven saying, now go get your bride? Do we care enough? Let's stand this morning. How should we then live? Because we don't know. We do not know our day and hour. I'm glad I don't know. But you know what? It doesn't resolve me of the fact that I have the responsibility to tell. It doesn't give me the opportunity to say, well, since I don't know, I'll put it off for another day. Let me ask just a simple question this morning. Do you know today if you died, you'd go to heaven? And you're guaranteed, you know it for sure, and that there's no question in your heart and in your mind, I know if I die today and I'm going to stand before my Creator, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I hope today that you can say that with all the confidence in the world. But if you don't, if you can't, it's very simple. You can pray right where you are, and you can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know Jesus Christ died for my sins. I accept him. I accept him as my Lord and Savior. That's how simple it is, right where we stand. You don't have to walk down an aisle to shake a preacher's hand. You've heard me say that many times. There's no one that ever got saved walking down an aisle shaking a preacher's hand. Doesn't happen that way. It says, for with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Know for sure, as you walk out this door, this is the last Sunday of this year. We don't know what next year brings, but this is the last Sunday of this year. Wouldn't it be neat to close out the year knowing for sure you're going to glory to be with your Lord and Savior? Don't leave without Christ. Give me the opportunity. I'll show you how you, through God's word, how you can be saved. But it's so simple. It's just that simple prayer, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, thank you today. As we close this year here in our congregation, Lord, what a privilege it is to know that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died, he rose and revived that he might be both Lord of the dead and the living. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending him. What a joy it is for us to be able to say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. We thank you in his holy name. Amen. Amen. Shake hands, please, before you leave today.